The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. It's great to be here Monday, June 28th. Glad you're with us. This is an economic data week. We're going to have a lot of economic data this week. Important economic data coming out today. Nothing with the exception of New York Fed President John Williams is going to speak at 9 o'clock this morning. So I think that they're going to be running out lots of the Fed voting presidents just to continue to make sure that it gives the illusion that the Federal Reserve is very much engaged in what is happening in the economy. That is a two-edged sword because it also makes it easier for all of us to blame the Fed for what goes wrong. So anyway, tomorrow we're also getting Richmond Fed president. He's going to be doing an interview, so we'll hear some things from him tomorrow morning at 9:30. And tomorrow we get a consumer confidence index. So I like the index number that is coming out at 10 a.m. tomorrow. It is expected to be up. I would not be surprised to see a 115 or a 116 number. It's expected to be 118. They're looking for 118.7. Then on Wednesday, we get the ADP jobs number, severe miss last week. So they're guessing a little bit lower. So we had we're looking at 543,000, somewhat irrelevant, but we'll take a look. We'll see what that is on Wednesday. We get pending home sales. Keyword here is pending. Needless to say, because of that keyword pending, I don't place a lot of emphasis on this, but it can give us some gauge as to sentiment. So we'll see. It's expected to be a negative 1%. That's coming off a negative 4.4%. That is not good. Thursday, we get initial jobs claims expected to be under 400,000 with a 300,000 handle. They are expecting 387,000 based on what we have seen. I don't know. I'm feeling like that's a little bit optimistic, but I can tell you if it is over 411, over the last week's look, that is going to be a problem. And there are some of these numbers that are going to be able to, we're going to be able to say, hey, there's a bit of a trend here that we ought to be concerned about. Job claims number is going to be one of them. The other one on Thursday is the ISM Manufacturing Index. That's the one I like. That is coming out as well. There's a PMI or a market manufacturing final number for the month of June, but I'd rather put a little more weight and hang my hat on the ISM Manufacturing Index. It's expected to go down slightly from 61.2 to 61. That would not be much of a move down, and it's still well in what we would consider the confidence level of manufacturing numbers. We also get a construction spending number. I'm going to be very curious about that, but that is coming out. It's expected to go up to a half of 1%. And then we get motor vehicle sales coming out. They trickle in throughout the entire day. No real number on that, but we're sitting at about 17 million vehicle sales, which is pretty amazing when you think of the enormous amount of supply chain issues that the automotive industry has had. On Friday, non-farm payrolls. So that's the private sector payroll numbers coming out on Friday. It is expected to be up to 683,000. That would be a good number. Listen, anything over 400,000 is always a good number. But that would be a good number. I don't think we're going to see a million, but we could see something higher. 683,000 is what they're hoping for. Unemployment rate is expected to go down for the month of June, go down to 5.7%. That's down from 5.8%. And the average hourly earnings expected to drop a little bit. That is not good. And we also get factory order numbers, and we'll see what they look like. Give us an indication of the future a little bit about what we can expect here in the future of manufacturing, I guess. By the way, all the indices are in positive territory. They're up slightly, not enough. I mean, the Nasdaq's up a third of 1%. That's pretty good, but everything else pretty much on the flat line, but is green. Oil is down slightly, sitting at 73.92, sitting at 73.90. So that is in negative territory. It is down slightly. It looks like it is losing some downside momentum. Now it's down to 73.91. So it is moving in the wrong direction. It's moving up. So we'll see if we go back over 74 cents. We opened $74 a gallon, a barrel. We were sitting at the open this morning at 74 even. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. I think there's a little balance coming into play here at these numbers. The looks like the biggest winners, according to the analyst on Monday morning after a weekend of analytics, is Micron, Tesla, GameStop, Microsoft. But I don't see that. Micron, yes, not the others. Apparently, Tesla is going to see some problems with apparently a recall that their cruise control kicks in without any warning and accelerates the car. So they are going to have a recall of 2 years of their cars. That's going to be interesting because where do you go to get it fixed? Well, you know, you can't go anywhere. The fix is coming by way of over the airwaves in a software update. So that fix is coming. If your car has been doing that, software is getting updated. All right. We'll continue to watch some of those things. My concern this morning looks like it's more China than anything. So we have to continue to watch this. And also, the head of the second largest U.S. pension fund is saying that active managers rarely add value. That is nothing new. We've known that for a while. We don't do active here. We do long-term buys for long-term holds, and that always yields the best result. Always has and always will in all likelihood. If you want to be an active manager, you can do that if you want, but it generally doesn't work well. Now, speaking of manager, I want to say this as soon as we get back. We're out of time. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. You can queue your call up. We'll be back right after this. So speaking of managing, let me just say that, look, let me, I'm going to save myself some aggravation. I guess I'm really not an aggravation, but I'll save myself the notion of looking and worrying and all that kind of stuff of something. Look, if you see something on my list that you don't think it's biblically responsible because of one news print you've seen or blogger or whatever, sell it. You don't have to say anything to me. Whatever you're seeing, trust me, 99.9% of the time I've already seen it. And I suspect that I've seen it before it was made public. So just sell it. Don't write me and ask me and just sell it. I mean, I mean, so far I haven't seen anything that I'm selling. But if you see it and you're concerned, follow your instincts and sell it. And just move on to something else. If it's something that is not on my list at all, then chances are I didn't see it, maybe, because I'm not following them quite as closely as I am anything. But if it's not on my list, it's probably not on my list for other reasons other than what you're seeing. So it's not on my list anyway. But anyway, just please do that. I mean, just go ahead and sell it. I know there's a couple things. I took two things anyway off my buy list. They don't deserve to be off my buy list, but rather than to keep getting the emails from everybody, I took them off my buy list. So that should make you happy. You shouldn't own those because I'm going to assume that when you saw what you saw, you sold them. So you shouldn't own them anymore. So I just throw that out there. It saves you a little bit of anxiousness, and it'll save me just one less email that I get that I try to look at, particularly those emails coming from our partners. All right, so hopefully that might help in your management of your portfolio there, that and keeping it biblically responsible and all that might help you. All right, 610-363-1110. Look, the more talk coming out of the Federal Reserve, and I got to tell you, I'm more convinced than ever about inflation. Every single day, I continue to see something that is, I'm going to say, evidence of inflation not being transitory. So I am seeing evidence of that every single day. Now, I gotta believe there are others seeing that too. I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one seeing that. Maybe some others who have a book of business to worry about are not speaking it out, but nonetheless, some others have to see it, surely. So we have to understand that. Is it bad for the near term? Probably not. But at some point in time, as prices continue to go up, everywhere you go, if you go out to eat dinner, if you just go to even a very casual dining are considered most of those chains, you know, the Fridays or the Chili's, you know, Olive Garden and Red Lobster and all those places, the casual dining restaurants. If you go there, you're seeing prices go up. If you go to any other dining, you see prices are going up. If you go to the supermarket, prices are going up. When you go grocery shopping, things are costing more money. It's costing more money to put gasoline in your car. It's going to cost you more money to do service on your vehicle. It's going to cost you more money for your electric bill. It's going to cost more for your sewer bill, your water bill, your whatever. Everything is going up. Local taxes are going up. Lots of state taxes going up. Everything is costing you more. According to the numbers coming out this Friday, they are expecting wages to go down. Don't know how that's possible, but if that's the case, that is not good. You don't want to have those two things, inflation, the cost of goods and services going up, and at the same time have wages not going up. Not a good thing. So we continue to see that. We've got major issues still with supply chains. We have China and Russia becoming more and more dangerous. The U.S. struck targets in Syria. The targets on ammunition depots in Syria, and that are being stockpiled by Iranian-backed militants. Mitt Romney, the brilliant super conservative from Utah, came out and made an absolutely amazing, enlightening story. He said that he thinks China is the greatest threat to the U.S. Thank you, Mitt. He's on top of it again, Mitt. You know, he's right there. So, no kidding. Do you think? So, but, you know, some of these politicians are so out of touch, they don't know they're out of touch. You got to be in touch a little bit to realize you're out of touch. So, it is true. We see these things. There are some that are talking about retail sales having a good quarter. So we are up against the last day of the second quarter. We are up against the first half of the year being put in the history books. We are seeing concern still about COVID. We're not seeing concern coming from people, coming mostly from the government. It is really a concern if you try to fly, prices are up. If you're driving, prices are up. It is really the only thing that I've seen prices go down on are masks. They're giving them away. They can't sell them fast enough. Nobody's buying. But look, it is a problem. We're going to continue to see prices go up. By the way, if you're a cryptocurrency person, you should know that the Afra coin, a cryptocurrency trading platform out of Africa, is magically missing $3.5 billion worth of crypto. And the two men that founded the company are missing. They can't be found. It's news, but it's news that happens almost every month somewhere. So it's gone. No way of tracing it because it's crypto. So they had a great thing going there. They got $3.5 billion, and it is gone. I doubt that anybody here was investing in that company, but nonetheless, there were probably some Western European nations and Middle Eastern countries even, maybe in that program. This has been going on for years. There's billions, hundreds of billions of crypto stolen every year. Anyway, there are some things that are going on around the world. They are coming up with a super shot for vaccines. That means you can multiply any negative effects from the original vaccine. You can multiply that by a dramatic number, I'm sure. But people, you know, they want to make sure that there's not a coronavirus in the world that's going to bother them. So theoretically, they should never get a cold. That's corona. Or flu. That's corona. But there's a super vaccine coming out that is going to take care of all the variants that come out. That's what they say anyway. And by the way, I think Spain and Portugal are the last country that have put sanctions or concerns about travelers from the UK coming to their country. Not good for the airlines, not good for the UK either. So they are expecting that to be somewhat of a happening here in the U.S., that we may ourselves restrict travelers coming from the UK and restrict travelers going. We'll see. All right. I think you'll notice on the website this morning that I added two sectors into those sectors of area that if you are investing with new money, you might want to concentrate in those four sectors. The two that I've added on there are considered to be underweights by most analysts. That's why I put it on there as one you want to get started with. As you can see, their year-to-date returns are low single digits. And I think that both of those sectors are going to have great opportunity in the next year, at the beginning of next year. So I threw them in there. Make sure you check it out on the partner side of the page. We'll be right back. Yeah, I just want to thank Kristen from Texas, Brian from Arkansas, Ruth from Texas, Larry from Iowa. We had 87 people give to feed the widows, the orphans, the children in India. So we're very, very excited about that. And I thank all of you. You continue to give, and we're so blessed. Sally from Ohio and Shirley from Ohio, Joel from Oklahoma. Thank you, Wayne, Wayne and Sally from Ohio. Thank you so much. And we'd like to get $50,000 to give a jump start and see how long that can make it. But we need to continue until this is over in India. We need to feed these people. It is just horrifying what is going on. And I want to thank all of you that you've allowed, that have allowed God to you. Obviously, your obedience is so welcomed that God nudged you and you gave a little bit. If you would go to India Partners, you cannot give to financial issues. People are annoyed because we're sending those donations back to you. So we're just crediting your credit card and asking you to go to India Partners. It takes you the same amount of time to do it on our website as it does to click on the red banner there on our website. So you can do it directly to India Partners. So we would appreciate it. Yes, we partner with them. We're very excited about the ministry that they're doing and the work they're doing. We're excited to be a part of it. But we ask you to give to this these starving people. By the way, these people are starving as a result of corruption and greed. Don't question God in this starvation, as children are dying, and widows and orphans are dying. Men are starving for not eating at all because they're giving what little they have to their families, and they are dying and getting sick. They have no immune system from lack of food, and we need to feed them. But this is about greed, folks. You need to understand, we live in a fallen world, and greed is what this is all about. God has provided, but the corrupt and the greedy are hoarding and taking away, and it's sad to see. So let's put some money in the hands of somebody that we know will get it to the people. India partners with local ministries that are doing the work and getting it there. There's plenty of food. They don't lack for food. They have the food. The problem is the money to buy the food. And when you give to India Partners, there are families that are going to get food for about 14 days. Now, for some of these families, it might just be a family of two. That might last a whole month. But we ask you to give anything you can. And you can go to India Partners. It's right there on our website on the front page, financialissues.org, and you click on the red banner right there and that says India Partners. Click on that, and it'll take you to the page. Everything they get is going to feed the hungry. I know it talks about wells, or it's not. It's going to feed the hungry. That has been put on pause. You know, they have to prioritize. So if you would do that, it would be a blessing to us, to them, to the people, and to the Lord. Right now, the Dow is down slightly. The S&P and NASDAQ up slightly. So the markets are open, but we're not seeing much change. Everything is hanging right around the flat line. The volatility index is up, but not by much. So that's what's happening right now, and we'll see. Apparently, the NASDAQ is making a pretty good run. It's up over a half of 1% right now. So we'll see if that can hold throughout the day. A lot of that to do with Microsoft, Tesla, Micron, a couple others. So we'll see if that can hold and what will come of that. Finally, had a great box office. I don't even remember the name of the movie, but the movie that was out this weekend finally had some good numbers at the box office. So people are even going to the movies now. It is pretty pretty amazing. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Katie. Katie is calling from Indiana. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question.
Okay.
My daughter keep on bringing the subject of a trust. We do have a will. But because my husband, he just turned 75 and he came with Parkinson about 3 years ago, she's a little bit concerned. She's not worried much about me. I should keep on going, thank the Lord, till I'm probably 90. I'm 73 myself. Is it a good idea to put a trust? My worry is, am I lose control of my asset? The way they explain it to me is I have to put everything in an asset, in the trust, and then the trustee will give us so much money every month.
Well, I don't know what kind of trust it is. But if you were to put it in a trust, it would be what is called a living trust. A living trust is not irrevocable, and you don't lose any control. You are the primary trustee on the trust. The other trustees, okay, there are other trustees, but they don't get a say on what happens with your money. Now, what you don't want to do, which is maybe what they're suggesting, is if you do an irrevocable trust, not a revocable, but an irrevocable. In other words, it can never be changed once it's set up. And what will happen in an irrevocable, oftentimes, they will appoint a controlling trustee, and the trustee can control the assets. Now, if they're talking about that, I haven't seen, I used to have a trust business. I think the last time I wrote an irrevocable trust or was involved in one was in 1998. I mean, it is not something you see much of. There is very little need for that unless you have a very, very large estate, an estate that would be well in excess of $10 or $15 million. Then sometimes portions of that in an irrevocable trust can be beneficial. But I don't know what they're talking about, but today most people are putting their assets, they are right, all your assets need to go in the name of the trust, but you should be the primary trustee, not somebody else. You can have other trustees named, you should. If you don't name them in the trust, then the reason you make the trust becomes irrelevant because it's not going to work. But you have other trustees, but they don't have any control.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, because I was kind of, the way they were talking, it's like, you know, I have to ask who I'm going to put as a trustee. I have to ask them to give me so much money to live on. And I don't like the idea of, you know, somebody tell me how much I should spend and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's not the way a normal trust works. They're obviously talking to you about something a little bit different. There's some reasons why you might want that, but that's not normal.
Well, what my daughter or someone else suggests, that if my husband have to end up in a nursing home, that the Medicare take the little bit nest egg that we have, and they want to kind of secure that.
That is true, but then the only way you can prevent that through a trust is through an irrevocable trust, and that is what they must be talking about. I would rather see you give the money away to somebody you trust or put somebody else's name on that money so that you can prevent that from happening rather than creating an irrevocable trust.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for explaining that to me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Katie. Glad you called.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure thing. 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Our lines are open. You'll be the next person we take. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. And we'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Queue your call up. And we'll continue to try to get your questions here. I know it's summertime, but we'll continue to go for another hour. We got another hour and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes. So plenty of time. Get your question queued up. Or if you're watching on the website, you can put your comment or question up there. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Let me go to Janice. Janice is calling from Kansas. Hi, Janice.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I have a question based on your previous caller with the will and the trust. My question would be, why would you choose to leave a will you already have for a trust? And specifically concerning less than $100,000 in assets total, would it be a good choice to move to a trust or stay with the will we have currently?
No, I'd stay with the will. A trust isn't going to help anybody, you know, in that situation. The only thing a trust can do that makes life a little bit easier. Seth, can you pull that down? Because she must have a radio or something's on. I can hear feedback. So the only reason you would do that is, you know, if you want it just to be easy. But usually with estates like that, it's usually easy anyway. So, you know, it's not going to take long. It's probably too small to go through probate. So, and of course, I don't know what Kansas probate rules are. Every state's different. But a trust does make it a lot easier to get everything settled. But for a small state, it really probably doesn't make any difference.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Thank you, Janice. All right, let me go to Amy. Amy's calling us from Georgia. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. This is my first time calling. I'm calling in reference to trying to help a widow in my family. My dad recently passed away, and we have a sum of money that we're trying to figure out what to do, and we have to do probate, and I don't understand all that. I just heard you say something about probate. And if you have like a vehicle that's only in the name of the deceased person, you have to go to probate. Is that even if there's a spouse that's still living?
No, not if there's a spouse that's still living. It's hers automatically.
Even if it wasn't titled in her name?
Yeah, she'd be able to put the title in her name with a death certificate. Now, the state of Georgia might be different than other states. I mean, every state's different, but generally that is the case.
Okay. And then the other question is, there was money from when my father passed away, and we're trying to figure out what to do with it. My mom is not necessarily certain about what to do with it. And, you know, other than just keeping a check, you should just put it in it. You know, say a credit union or a savings account. I'm just trying to figure out ways to try to invest it for her so that she'll have continual funds in her 80s.
Well, I wouldn't try to invest it too much because she's probably going to need it before she gets any return on an investment. And the downside to trying to invest it is that when you go to need it in the short term, the investment might be down and you won't be able to wait for it to come back up. You'll have to take the loss and sell it. And I would avoid doing that. I think at some point in time, we all get to a place where protecting what we have is valuable to just protect that. There's value in that. And when we set out to try to make a little bit in a short period of time, it generally doesn't work end well. So I wouldn't do that. I'd probably, get it into a CD or just for making nothing. But nonetheless, I think it's probably important for her to preserve what she has if that's all she has.
So, well, she has other savings and all, but and then she has some investment in, you know, through like a Prime America or, you know, something like that, which would, you know, I'm trying to help her with that. I'm just not savvy, and I've been listening to your show, and I really appreciate how you help people. I thank you. I thank the board for your diligence.
Yeah. Well, so, I would not want to see her or you help her. Don't do any more annuities. Put money, Prime America's an annuity. And the downside to that, Amy, is there's no options. You're limited. And yeah, everybody at some point in time needs to have options. So if you do that, you know, they're just, you don't want to put it back into that account, that Prime America. I would just, if you're investing some things, then maybe use this as just a good, strong cash position for your mother so she can just leave everything else alone without messing with it or touching it. And if she needs some money, she has some cash, she is ready available. But you don't want to put it into any kind of annuity product like she has now. That's not a good thing. I wouldn't want to see you do that.
Okay. And then as far as a CD, is it? I know, I think they're like 6 months, years, a year or 5 years or something like that. So
yeah,
would you recommend putting it in cash, just putting in a savings account over even?
She could put it in a CD, an 18-month CD. I don't think I'd go any longer than that because I think rates probably are going to go up here shortly. You're not going to get much more, though, in an 18-month CD than you would get in a money market account, in a savings account. It's almost going to be the same thing. So I would wait. If you hear, you know, rates are going up and you can get a good rate, or maybe you know of a bank that is paying a bonus or an extra interest rate for a certain amount of CD, and you can go open the account and take advantage of that, that's not a bad idea. But that's all I would do. I don't think you're going to be a lot better off in the long run in a CD than you will in just a savings account.
Okay. Well, Dan, thank the Lord for you. And I know that you've helped a lot of people, and I just pray God's blessing on your ministry and you as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that encouragement, those words. Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless you.
Let me go to Kyle in Oklahoma. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good.
The question. Previous employer gave the 401k match and also a pension 7% that you they just gave you. So I'm no longer at that company. So I've got a lump sum that's sitting out there. And what I'm able to do, and this is infidelity, what I'm able to do is go in and manipulate it to see, into the day or age whenever I want to, take it out, and then my beneficiary's date of birth. And then also you can factor in a legacy lump sum interest rate or a cash balance interest credit rate. I really don't know what to do there, so I'm seeking some advice what percentage to put in there. And then when I do, basically click to spit all the information out, it's, let's just say it's $80,000 now, or when I'm 65, it's $177,000 with the interest rate. Would you cash that out now? I'm a partner with you, and reinvest in some of your picks throughout time, or would you just leave that lump sum alone and wait till I'm 65 years old to cash that out?
How old are you, Kyle?
Just turned 40.
Yeah, I would probably take it only because you'll probably make more on your own right now, have a little more control of it. So I don't have a problem taking it. But remember, when you take it, you got to roll it into an IRA account or pay the taxes on it. So, if it's $80,000, you'd have to pay the tax. But in your case, you would also have to pay a 10% penalty. So it would probably cost you 25 to 30% to take it out. So what you'd want to do is roll it over into an IRA account. So just go to Fidelity if you don't have one and open an IRA account. and then roll that into the IRA account. That won't cost you anything. You won't have to pay any taxes. You won't have to pay any penalties. And you can invest it any way you want. And then start tracking it along and build a portfolio with our stock picks and stuff that you can just literally forget about for the next 20 years. And I think that would be the way to go.
Yeah, and I've got the rollover IRA in there that I've already been investing with your picks. So, yeah, there. So I just need to do the paperwork. With COVID, I think they've closed a lot of those shops down for now, so it's kind of more difficult to get the paperwork. But I'm sure I can just print it off, and it's more of a, you know, you got a mail-in hassle versus show up at the office to do it. So, but okay, well, that's good information. I appreciate your help, Dan.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks, Kyle. Glad you called. All right. 610-363-1110. We've got a line open. We're going to go to break. And we'll be back right after this break. When we get back from break, of course, we have our Ag Report. Greg Haggard will be with us with our Ag Report. Ian Patrick will be with us from FISM News. He's going to give us a little 3 or 4 minute rundown of what's happening, so you can get a look at that. And then we'll get our Ag Report. And then we'll be right back, and we'll get back to phones, your questions, your comments. We'll take a look at the markets, see what's going on as well. Right now, everything's in positive territory except for the Dow. The Dow is down by about a third of 1%. But the S&P is up, and the NASDAQ's up over 0.5%. That's good news. All right, we'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
We will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.
We in America should be grateful to God for the blessings He's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation, because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Good morning. Welcome back. 610-363-1110 if you want to queue your call. By the way, we've got our Ag Report coming up, Craig Haggard, and we need to be continuing to watch these ag commodities. And, you know, I know in lots of parts of the country, they're in the Northeast, for instance, they're good, you know, 2 months away from any real kind of harvest of beans or rice or beans or corn. But nonetheless, they are. Other parts of the country very much getting ready for that and geared up. So, you know, commodities become more and more critical. But listen, commodities are about inflation. So we talk about commodities and you see those prices, you get a better grip on what is happening inflation-wise. So Craig Haggard coming up, very important. Right now we have Ian Patrick, FISM News. Of course, the news, you can watch this week's first broadcast tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern time, FISM.TV. Check that out. It is also on Thursday evenings, FISM.TV at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and you get an update. But the best thing to do is constantly be going to the news site, because we're constantly posting new articles that are written, even being written right now as we speak, covering what is the latest, and some video content as well. And you need to click on there. So if you go to FISM.TV/news, you'll be on the site, or through the phone app, you can get to the site. Ian, welcome.
Hey, Dan, thank you so much. That's good to hear from you again, coming back from NRB 2021. You know, I got to say, you were just talking about inflation. The gas prices down in Texas are the highest that I've ever seen in Texas. Usually, it hovers around, $2, $2.10 or something. The cheapest I saw was $2.70. Made me worry quite a bit. But it's great to be back. And obviously, good. We had a wonderful time at NRB, and it was just such a wonderful thing to see what God's doing with all these other companies how he's moving. It's incredible. So I was very grateful to be there.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a chance to go. It is a great great organization. They're working hard. They're trying to, you know, get the word out there too of all some great ministries. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. And the other good thing about NRB was that I also got to see some pretty, you know, bigwig people speak and give presentations. And I say that jokingly, obviously, bigwig people. But there was some pretty important people there that I did get to see.
Absolutely.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was actually there, and he sat down with New York Times bestselling author Joel C. Rosenberg, and they had a discussion about mostly about foreign affairs, specifically concerning Israel. That was a very big focus of NRB. And I wanted to touch on just some of the things that former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, because he had some very good points to touch on. So in every question, Pompeo undoubtedly gave glory to God. Every decision and every action he ever made while he was in the position. He actually said at one point, well, you know, when I was appointed to be Secretary of State, I really didn't want to mess it up. So I felt like I had to, you know, do my best in every situation, which I think it's safe to say I think he tried his best in every situation. So
He did a great job, and he never let us down. He never let the people down. And I think that's really important. You know, I think of Attorney General Barr, who was one of the greatest letdowns of my life, and so many others, you know. But he, Mike Pompeo, he held so true to everything that he stood for. And he was great, great.
Yeah, you're exactly right in saying that. Yeah, he was very steadfast in his beliefs and how he carried it out in his position there. So I agree wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
So some of the questions that they just covered, I'll just touch on really quick.
Okay.
And just to remind people as well, you were talking about going to the website. I'm currently writing an article on this just based on the notes I took. It will be on the website, I hope, later today. If not today, then tomorrow. So you'll get to read more of this in depth. It was very, very fascinating. So I encourage you to go to fism.tv/news to check it out. First and foremost, though, Pompeo noted that Iran is still America's biggest enemy and is especially a great threat to what he said is our greatest ally, Israel, which I agree with. Now, he says that Biden is acting thoughtfully and diplomatically about foreign affairs, but this approach is also allowing Iran to develop their nuclear program without any decisive pushback. You'll remember back in the Trump administration, Trump pulled out of I forget the name of it. It's escaping me at this time.
Yeah, but the arms deal.
Yes, the arms deal with Iran. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He pulled out of that, and he sanctioned multiple officials in Iran and pretty much did everything to deter them from creating nuclear programs.
Right.
But because Biden's not really that forward with Iran at this moment, Pompeo said that's allowing them to really develop it under our noses. And he actually ultimately summed up the foreign policy differences between Trump and Biden by saying that the Trump administration addressed the world we saw and that we were very realistic in it. And especially in Iran's case, Pompeo said that Biden's diplomatic approach will not work all the time because they are ideological. No monetary agreement or physical object will satisfy their goals because no accommodation, in his words, no accommodation will change their revolutionary zeal. So he had some things to touch on for President Biden to hopefully hear and put into place. And otherwise, they touched on Israel and the foreign affairs going on there as well. Pompeo said that although Biden spoke well of Israel during the Hamas rocket barrages from Gaza, Biden said Israel does have the right to defend itself. Biden still allowed pro-Palestine messages from groups like BLM to shine through and create confusion about America's stance on the matter. So he had some interesting things to touch on for that. So like I said, I'll be writing an article, and
that's
hopefully
great.
That'll be up later today.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. That article. I know I will. I'm interested to hear all that. He's one of the greatest Secretary of States we've had in modern history, and I appreciate him so much. I'm glad you got a chance to hear all that and write an article. Good stuff. Here comes Craig Haugard with our Ag Report. Thanks, Ian. Sure appreciate it.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update for June 28. Corn and soybean futures both traded sharply lower on weather and renewed concerns about biofuel regulations on Friday. Friday saw the Supreme Court rule that small oil refineries can be given RFS exemptions even if their initial exemption had lapsed. This overruled a lower court decision and pushed corn prices lower. The trade is extremely anxious to see what the USDA will give us for planted acres when that report comes out on June 30th. The average guess is that corn acres will come in at 93.8 million acres, which would be about 2.7 million more than the USDA had in their March report. It seems worth noting that the greatest gain ever recorded between the March and June reports has been an increase of 2.43 million acres. Soybeans came under extremely heavy pressure by traders who were spooked by the Supreme Court siding with small refineries. This decision led to speculation that we could potentially see changes to regulation on larger refineries as well. And that fear caused July futures to close 41.5 cents lower on Friday. The average trade guess for U.S. soybean acres is 89 million. For perspective, the average trade guess ahead of the March acreage survey was 90 million. Weather continues to drive prices as once again we had Chicago and Kansas City wheat futures lower, while Minneapolis wheat continued to move higher. Spring wheat weather remains a huge concern, with the Upper Plains projected to stay exceptionally hot and dry the next couple of weeks. Adding insult to injury is the forecast that Canada's moisture deficits are expected to expand this week, especially in the western prairies where hard red spring wheat would be raised. Cotton futures saw both old and new crop futures close higher for the day on Friday. At the finish, we had December futures 45 points higher, closing at 87.18. I wouldn't be surprised if December futures end up testing the resistance on the charts, which would come in at 88.50. Livestock futures were all higher to end the week. At the close, we had August live cattle 17.5 cents higher, while August feeder cattle were up $2.40 at the closing bell. Cattle on feed report appears to be mildly supportive. Cattle on feed came in at 100.2%, which is slightly less than the trade estimate of 100.5%. Placements at 93.1% also came in below trade estimates of 95.4%. And marketings were 123.4% versus the trade estimate of 123.6%. Lean hog futures had a positive outing as well, with the July futures finishing $1.92.5 higher for the day. Class 3 milk futures had a stronger session end of the week. At the close, we had the July futures 8 points higher as they settled at $16.65. In meat cutout, values were mixed. Choice box beef was $2.86 lower, closing at $304.86. Select boxes were up 4 cents to settle at $276.18. Pork carcass cutout values were lower as well, closing down $2.95, settling at $110.04 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Make sure you check that article out, FISM News. Go to fism.tv/news. That's our website. Check it out. You should have that minimized at the bottom of your screen just so that you can check on it as you get on your computer. But you have to update it, obviously, every once in a while. But it's great to do it. It's on our app as well. You can go to the news. You see what's posted. We have videos up there. We have our moments in history archived there, all of them. So you can see all of them if you're a homeschooling mom and want something that's appropriate for whatever age you're teaching and stuff like that. It's great. Great, great stuff. We have some wonderful articles. We have some great writers and some great videos up there. So you might want to check it out. Last week, I think it was last week, Newsmax accused us of stealing something from them, and we're like, I don't think so. We pay for that, so we pay dearly. Trust me. So you see some of those things. We're using some of the same services that some of the really NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News even uses, and a lot of the big news outlets, the biggest in the country, use. Newsmax might not, because they run on a very tight budget, but so do we. But we want to get the best and do what is right for everybody. So anyway, it's interesting. But yeah, it's great stuff. Make sure you check it out. All right, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 610-363-1110. Seth, what's happening with gas prices? I think they're $3 and some.
Yeah, some interesting stuff here, Dan. It's a little disappointing. Gas prices are continuing to rise. And it's not surprising, but it is unfortunate. They're up to just about $3.10 nationwide.
Okay.
So yesterday they were a little bit lower than that, but a week ago they were at $3.07. So they've made almost a 3 cent jump. And a month ago they were $3.04. And back a year ago, $2.18.
Yeah,
I miss those days.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, me too. You know, we can't take that lightly, folks, because for every penny, it's literally millions and millions of dollars for every penny that they say comes out of the economy. In other words, that's coming, that's discretionary income that is not going to get spent in the economy. Just to give you an idea of why that piece of inflation is so critically important. Might not matter in Japan. It doesn't matter in Europe. Doesn't matter in China. For us, whose economy is 71% dependent upon all of us buying stuff, it's a huge, huge thing. So, Seth, keep a close eye on that. And
yeah, sure,
we'll watch that, see where it is next week.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks. All right. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Roblin calling from Texas. Hey, Roblin.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good to hear from you.
I only hear
from you on Facebook, usually.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm calling in today, but just thank you again for all you do and your team does. It keeps us on our toes every day listening to you, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Had a question. I'm working on filling out my portfolio allocation, and I was trying to add TM59 to it, and it said on your list of mutual funds that that was a no-fee, no-load fund. But when I go into Fidelity to buy it, it says there is a load of 5.52%. So do I have to go directly to Timothy Funds to purchase that mutual fund?
No.
Or should Fidelity not have that load?
I'm trying to look on my list to see where I said that. I don't ever remember having that somewhere.
Look under your mutual fund list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and TM59 over there on the right hand side.
Yeah, so no, that's a loaded fund. I'm not sure they do C shares anymore on that, but that does have a load. Unless you're going to an RIA, going through your RIA, then that's a little bit different. But yeah, so it seems to me like, I don't know, I can't, of course, when I want something like that, I can't find it. But yeah, that's not, I don't know why. Now I'm thinking about all of the funds that I have there.
No, that's the only one that you have listed. No fee, no fund, no fee, no load.
Yeah.
On the right side.
Okay. So
notes.
Yeah, on my notes. Yeah. Yeah, I'll check that out. But no, that it does. It definitely
does.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Great. So it's still okay to go forward with that.
It's okay to it is. It is a defensive strategy. It's something that is, kind of a hold. It's doing. I put it on the list recently. It hadn't been on the buy list in a very long time.
Right.
And went back on because of my feelings about inflation, feeling like, inflation is definitely beginning to take a hold. And so that's the kind of thing that is going to do well because they do have some inflationary kinds of things like gold and oil and commodities in there. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, great. All right, Good. Dan, thank you for the information.
And you're welcome.
We'll hang up and continue to listen.
Thank you, Roblin. I appreciate you. Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let me go to Jim in South Carolina. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Dan. First of all, I'd like to thank you for getting sidetracked once in a while. I was listening to the show the other day, and you got off on a tangent doing some preaching and all, and I just enjoyed it so much. So anyway, thank you for getting sidetracked. Now,
sure.
My question for you today is, when you're purchasing something online or even in a store somewhere, do you prefer a credit card or a debit card, and why?
Never, ever, ever use a debit card anywhere. Because if use it as a debit, so, I mean, it's still going to act like a debit when you use it as a credit card, in the sense that it's still going to come out of your checking account. But once you use it as a credit card, you have the protection of Visa or MasterCard or whatever it is. And if you use it as a debit card and somebody were to hack that and get use of it and get into your accounts, the bank says, yeah, oh, well, yeah, sorry about that. Not much we can do about it. Where Visa and MasterCard will make it good. They'll protect against that. So it's very, I always tell people, don't use your debit card as a debit card. When, you know how people ask, do you want to pay debit or credit? Always use it as a credit card. And the other thing that I would just mention to people, because I know people that won't, people say, well, I'll send a check for donation because it's safer. The safest way you can give or buy is with a credit card, believe it or not. I would rather use my credit card and get that hacked than have somebody get a hold of my checking account, my check that has my address on it, my name, my account number, and the routing number of my checking account. I would much rather use a credit card. And all the cyber security experts say it's far safer to use a credit card than a check. So I would only use it as a credit card in everything you do, even if you go to the grocery store, because it's not going to charge interest or it's not going to make a minimum payment or anything like that. It's still going to come immediately out of your checking account, just like a debit card. It's just that you have that backing of the Visa or MasterCard.
Okay, sounds like to me I either need to use a credit card or my debit as a credit card, period.
Correct. Yep, that's right. Very good. My wife and I use a credit card, and we pay it off at the end of the month, so we've never paid interest. I haven't paid interest on a credit card in, I don't know, 30 years. We just pay it off. We use it because it's convenient, and I don't like to carry cash around. So, when you know, it comes mainly from when we travel a lot, you know, it's safer. So anyway, yep, that's the way to do it.
Very good. Thank you so much, and I hope you get sidetracked again today.
Okay. All right, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. All right.
God bless.
Dan, thank
you so much.
If I could speak to something that Jim just said there.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that he brought that up, and just another plug for people to listen to the show. I've wondered that too. Like, what's the difference between using a debit card as a debit or credit card? And I've just always done debit because that's just what I did. I thought it was a debit card, and yeah. It makes so much sense what you said. So for people listening, please listen to the show and listen to what Dan says, because even if you don't have a question, you're going to get another question answered that you didn't even know you needed to have answered.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's what happens, you know, and most debit cards now have some sort of Visa or MasterCard attached to them.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, yeah, I usually, believe it or not, I don't know why, I'm glad Jim called and asked.
Yeah.
I usually only talk about it around Christmas time when I know everybody's shopping. And I always say, no, don't use it. Now, the merchants like you to, I've had merchants say, oh, I can only take debit. Now, I know that's not true. So I say, I'm sorry, can't help you then.
Right.
You know, let me see. We'll take it. You know, because they don't want to pay. They have to pay a little bit of a fee. And I don't want to hurt the merchants, but that fee is paying for insurance for me.
Yeah.
For my, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many times I've had credit cards stolen from me.
Sure.
Every year, twice a year, three times a year, somebody got my credit card. And it was always at Atlanta's airport.
Yeah.
So, and finally, they told me, you need to buy one of those wallets that have the
right
shield in it. And I've never had it since. Never been stolen since. That's all it takes.
Awesome. Yep, there you go.
All right. We'll be back. 610-363-1110 right after this. Let me go back to phones. Glynis in Alabama. Let me go there. Glynis, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a strange question to ask you. My dad has just been diagnosed with dementia, and he's not filled out a will. And there's three of us, and he's not married. He's living with someone in Illinois, and he's supposed to go and do a will supposedly today. I was under the impression that any document that he fills out is null and void. Am I correct or am I not correct?
Well, if he goes to a lawyer's office, the lawyer will ask some questions that are designed, though people don't realize it, to check their mental capacity. And it's done often with older people because ultimately the lawyer is the one that's going to have to go to court and say that, yes, I understand that he was diagnosed with dementia, but on this day, he was having a very good day. It was pretty obvious. And he knew everything we asked. And we believe that this is, in fact, the last wishes of this person. So it doesn't automatically make everything they do if there's a lawyer that is willing to vouch for it. So if not, whatever is decided wouldn't hold up in court. So let me give you an example. Your father passes and the person that he's living with gets everything that he owns in the will. You can challenge that. You have to do it quickly. You can challenge that immediately on the courts. Everything gets frozen until the court case is heard. And there is a very good chance that he's not going to win. When people do that, when a person guides somebody to do something that might be, you know, strictly for their benefit, they always leave some things out. I don't like to even say what things are that they leave out, but there are certain things that they will leave out that seems pretty obvious once you know what they are. And that's a telltale sign. So I would not, I would just caution you that don't just sit back and say, well, you know, nothing's going to count, so it's irrelevant. But if nothing counts, then it doesn't make life any easier. It makes it harder because now you got to prove that he would have done something other than this. And yet it's almost better to have a bad will than none at all. But I think that in this case, for sure. So all I can say is that maybe you'll find out who the lawyer is that he went to, and then you can call and ask some questions if you have questions about what might have happened.
Okay, I appreciate your time. Thank you so very much. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad you called. Great question, folks. You know, if you're listening to me and you are an elderly person, you need to have two things that you've got to do today. You got to have a will, and you got to have a power of attorney. You have to do that. If you are a young couple, you need those things. But certainly as you get older, obviously for obvious reasons, you need it more. You have to do that. If for the sake of 300 hours to go to a lawyer to do a will, you're saving your family so much heartache and grief. And it is not fair for you when they are already mourning to have that burden on them. You need to, I don't like talking about those things. Well, suck it up and be okay with it. And if you are a believer, why not? You're afraid to talk about going to the glory of God and the joy and peace you're going to have. Why? I understand. I get it. But you need to do it. And if you're a young person, you need to do it too. You have to have a power of attorney. A power of attorney is a living document. It has nothing to do with anything that happens after you go home to be with the Lord. That's for the will to do. The power of attorney dies when you die. It's a worthless piece of paper after you die. The idea of it is to have someone you trust making life or death decisions for you, and somebody that you trust being able to pay your mortgage payment, to pay your rent, to pay your electric bill, to pay your phone bill, somebody that can do those things for you should you become incapacitated. A will, and when you have a power of attorney, don't ever say, well, I'm my wife's and my wife is mine. Of course, that's the first line, and you should always have that. But you have to have a successor power of attorney as well, so that maybe you're both in the same car accident. Maybe one passes before you and you've never changed it. Maybe there is so much grief and sorrow that your spouse can't make a proper decision. And because of all the work she's doing, taking care for somebody or something like that. You need to have successors. So you need your spouse. Yes, they are your power of attorney. But in the event that they are unwilling or unable to serve, then you have somebody else. If you have children, maybe you have the oldest child. But you should name somebody that you trust to do the right thing. And extremely important that you have those documents at any age. All right, let me go to Jay in South Carolina. Hey, Jay.
Good morning, Dan. I wanted to thank you for we all appreciate the love you have for your fellow man there. It's pretty obvious.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm going to be changing the subject here a little
okay.
bit. What I'm... what I'd like to talk about is the inflation thing. During the previous administration, we had almost full employment, but no inflation. So, you know, I have been thinking about that, and it seems like, you know, people that were employed were adding to the supply. So, you know, so things were being made, you know, so there was no inflation. There was no shortages. Yeah. So the thing is, now where people are getting paid for not working, those people are hurting themselves because they're adding to inflation. And, you know, the other thing is that inflation reduces your purchasing power. So who is actually benefiting by inflation, and why are they doing it?
Yeah. Well, they're doing it for out of two reasons. One is they're just flat out ignorant. And
okay.
That's one. They just are economically inept and don't even possess the common sense that so many of us have. And you laid out, you know, the perfect and true scenario. So, but you've got to understand, and I hope I'm wrong about this. I don't think I am. But you've got to understand that during inflationary times and during a downturn in the economy that will have to come under this administration will be another opportunity to take advantage of for the administration or for, I don't want to even say the administration, for, as I always say, the puppeteers. The ones behind the scene that are pulling the strings, they're always going to benefit from that crisis. But what we have now is the direct opposite of what we had, as you pointed out. We had growth.
What's wrong with growth?
Right, we had a pro-American president, a less government president, less regulation, less taxes. That's why we didn't have inflation. We got the direct opposite now, and we're getting into deeper and deeper debt. It's a problem, brother.
Yep.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Yep.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. Well, we're getting some great questions, some really questions that are helping inform and help giving all of you, I hope, better understanding of certain things. I just need to touch on Jay again because I was rushing through because we were at that break. But, you know, he hit the nail on the head about inflation. And look, we need stronger dollar, and we need a stronger dollar environment. We need less debt, and we need more growth. And when you look at the past administration, it wasn't one person. It was what the goals were for the administration. The goals were to be pro-growth, pro-America, pro-American worker, pro-higher wages, pro-lower inflation, pro-growth, pro-protecting America's sovereignty, smaller government, pro lower debt, although they could have done more to cut the size of government, but they were getting pro smaller government by way of getting bigger growth, pro fair trade, pro fair platforms. In other words, I'll do what's right for us with you, Germany, and I'll do what's right for us with Italy. And I would expect that Italy and Germany will do the same. They will do what is right for their people, not what's right for America. That's the way it's supposed to be. Donald Trump said that to his critics at the first G7 meeting he went to, and said, when he was talking about pro-America and America first, he said, I would expect everybody here to have the same attitude. The problem was they didn't. Globalist. They cared. They didn't care about their people as individuals. They cared about their people from a globalist society. So we have all the opposite things right now. It's a recipe for disaster and failure. And the most comical thing for me, and it's, I guess it really isn't funny, but it just amazes me how dumb everybody seems to be in the administration and even some economists. We forget. People are saying, how many times have you heard? Well, the economy's getting back on track. The economy is recovering. Does anybody pause for even a second to think about one important thing? If I said to all the employees at Financial Issue Stewardship Ministries, if I said, we got to get back to basics, we got to get back to something that was, that we've lost, it would do no good if I didn't say what it was, if I didn't articulate what it was we have to get back to. We're talking about getting our economy back. Back to what? They can't articulate it, because in order to articulate where we're going back to was under the Trump administration, not under the Biden administration. So when we are saying, when the world is saying, well, America is getting back, the economy is going, getting back to pre-pandemic levels, do they understand what that means? That's getting back to the Trump era. That's what they're saying. We have a president, he hasn't done anything, because he couldn't. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, say he couldn't. It's been, we've been in the middle of the pandemic. Haven't done, what we are getting back to is what was under the Trump administration. The underlying fundamentals of the economy are the underlying fundamentals that the president, that the Trump administration built. That's what we're going back to. So let me ask everybody a question. Do you, Mr. or Mrs. Economist, Mr. or Mrs. Analyst, or Mr. or Mrs. Politician, let me ask you something. Do you believe that the Biden administration is building on that foundation that President Trump left? Or is he building a totally new foundation on the ideological footing of Marxism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, on globalism? He cannot build what Trump had. So here's the deal. We can, because the underlying foundation was so strong, listen, I wouldn't be surprised to see the markets in the next, I kind of would be, but I wouldn't be crazy, that the markets could go up another 30%, 20%, 10%. But there will be a correction and there will be a pullback, because at some point in time, when the pandemic is no longer an issue and everybody is back to work, at that time, we're not going to have the same foundation that we had. Yes, we've got penned up animal spirits of consumers that want to get back to spending again, that want to get an economy back to where it was. We have all those things penned up. That's why I'm not concerned about what we need to do with our portfolios at the moment. And that's why I wasn't concerned before the election, because I said, if Biden wins, who cares? It doesn't matter, because the foundation's so strong, nobody is going to destroy it overnight. So I wasn't too worried. We were able to sit back. Let's see how things play out, see what they're going to do, and then we'll move. Then we'll make some decisions. We have time. When Hillary Clinton was running against Trump, I had a plan all in place for a Hillary win. I was fully expecting that the Tuesday after the election, I was going to go to Rogers, Arkansas. That's where I was going. Had a full house in a church for a town hall meeting. And I was fully prepared before the election to go there and, for the first time, publicly announce what my strategy was going to be for all those people. And by the grace of God, I didn't have to do it. But I was prepared to. And it was a dramatic change and shift because Hillary would have destroyed our economy almost overnight. So it's a different place. But we need to keep in focus the Biden administration. We have to remember that he is riding on something that the previous administration built. Everything good about this economy is because of the Trump administration. Now, wait a minute. I'm not taking a shot at Biden by saying that. I mean, I do happen to believe that that this administration is not capable. Yes. But at the same time, I'm not taking a shot. We're going from pandemic to the Trump Foundation. It's just the way it is. So we've got to give Biden a little time to self-destruct the economy. So I'm not blaming it on him now because the economy is good any more than I would give him the credit for it, right? Not going to happen. So we need to understand that the administration that built what we're living off of now is no longer there. It's gone. The administration that's here is ushering in something that will not create a thriving economy. It won't. It might for the globalist, so us together with the G7 and the G20 might create something wonderfully for the world. But it isn't going to do anything for America. So that's where we are, and we need to keep that in focus when we think about this economy. Let me go to Becky real quick in Ohio. Hey, Becky.
Oh, hi, Dan. I really appreciate you. I've been following you for several years, and I want to be a not just a hearer but a doer. And I was really concerned about 10 years ago, my State Farm insurance agent put me into a investment with State Farm, and they're still taking out $100 each month. But I found out last week someone sent me some information on Black Fork, and Black Fork bought the State Farm investment several years ago. And I know that Black Fork is supposed to be
BlackRock.
BlackRock, New World Order. And yeah. I have a meeting with my agent on Thursday, and I'm not just sure what to do. I know there's lots of money in there.
Get out.
I know I'm going to get out. Do I transfer it to someone or take it out? Or I thought about Fidelity because I think they have the General Motors pension, which I received from my husband died like 10 years ago. But
is it a IRA money? Do you know, Becky?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So, I mean, I would move it somewhere. I would move it if Fidelity, you want to move it to Fidelity, that's fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that. And I would begin a strategy that you can develop and forget about. And I would build an income portfolio that you can just forget about, put on cruise control. So I think that's what you ought to do and get out of those annuities. Okay. Thank you, Becky.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, if you got to leave us, I hope you have a great day, and I hope I see you tomorrow. God bless. More financial issues right after this.
Jesus said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, follow me. It's not your money I want your heart.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.